The gospel for today comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. In this passage, we come upon Jesus discussing points of law with various religious leaders. Listen then in these ancient words for God's fresh word to us this day. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that God is one, and besides God, there is no other. And to love God with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. This is word of the Lord.
Hi, I'm Mia Smith. My journey through faith has been a bit different from most because I'm only 13 years old, and I don't remember most of my early life. I have been attending Morningside with my family for 10 years, since I've moved to Atlanta when I was 3. I have grown up in this church and have experienced all of the children's ministries and youth programs, which have brought so many great memories and helped me develop my faith beliefs as I become a somewhat sassy teenager. Some of my first memories of Morningside were participating in Sunday school each week and being in the preschool. It was in these classes that I was introduced to the basic teachings of the church, which helped me build the foundations of my current beliefs. It was much more than just trying to stay within the lines as we colored Jesus. It was in these classes that I was also met a few very good friends, which I'm still very close with now. One of the most important activities in which I was able to participate in was the children's choir, which I did for about 7 years. As a young participant, I became enamored with singing and music. Looking back, it was really cool that our children's choir, full of rowdy preschool and elementary kids, was once led by the head of the Atlanta Opera, Walter Huff. Most children's choirs don't get that. While I'm sure my parents hated getting me there every Wednesday for practice, it was something I loved for many years and highly recommend it for those of you with children. Later, when I was eight years old, I actually got to do a solo with the adult choir. From all of this, I'm now somewhat obsessed with singing, both at school and hopefully soon in the church. There are two big events for me that have led to a deeper relationship with God. First was the day the church provided me with my Bible. It seemed like a simple gift. However, the Bible has become a big part of my daily routine. That day I received my Bible, I gave a promise to myself and to God that I would devote myself more to Him. Now, I've read all of the Gospels and am struggling my way through the rest of the New Testament. The next big part was participating in confirmation last year. When I first started, I dreaded the early morning service classes. Over time, not only did I begin to look forward to them, I was also able to learn more about the church and the Bible through lots and lots of questions. These questions allowed me to really understand faith in God. I must say, the volunteer mentors played a huge role, and I really appreciate my mentor, Emily Terry. Now, I'm in year 3 of youth group. Our weekly meetings are some of the best hours of my week. I get to be with friends, learn more about faith, and get away from my parents for 2 hours. Youth group serves as an escape from schoolwork and social pressures of middle school. Being in this church has taught me so much about helping those in need, My brother and I have helped to feed the men at Journey and Clifton Ministries, served the folks at InTown Collaborative Ministries, worked at Dobbs Elementary School, participated in the Hunger Walk, and other things. All of these have helped remind me of how blessed we are and our role to share our blessings with others. All of these experiences have helped me develop a deep belief that no matter the situation or what's happening in this world, that I'm loved and I'm not alone. I know that God and this church love me, and they will always be there to support me. Again, I'm only 13, and my parents remind me often that I still have a lot to learn and a long way to go. I look forward to all that lies ahead, knowing that I'll continue to grow inside the church community, and I have a loving God to walk alongside me.
Morning. I get to follow that. For those of you who I haven't met, my name is Ted Fleming. And similar to Mia's story, one of the big parts of my faith, at least over the last several years, has been youth ministry. Obviously, not as a youth, but as one of the adults who is privileged to have the good fortune to spend time with the young people of our church and to see them grow. So when Emma sent me an email and said, "Hey, Ted, would you be willing to do this?" My heart immediately went to the probably 2 to 3 dozen youth whom I have strongly encouraged to stand before a congregation and share their wisdom on a Youth Sunday. And so, of course, turnabout being fair play, I figured I should probably say yes to this, which then led me to figure out, what do I want to say? And so I decided that I would go to my favorite part of the Bible. Not just the New Testament, but more specifically the parables that Jesus uses to teach us about how we should be living our lives. And the one thing that I was drawn to here was the fact that in all of these stories, even though we have never walked on the road to Emmaus, we've never been set upon by thieves, there are truths in these stories that we can all embrace and that we can all use. But of course, for me, I think the one parable that I would want to hearken to the most is probably one of the more popular ones in the Bible, and that is the parable of the prodigal son. For those of you who maybe aren't up to date, this is the one where the father has the two sons. The younger son decides one day, "Hey, I want my share of the inheritance. I'm heading out." Of course, he fritters it all away and comes home in disgrace, begging his father to take him back in. His father, of course, does joyfully and throws a giant feast for him and has his servants to go prepare this feast. Now, the character for me in this parable that I've most related to has been the older son, the son who is resentful at the fact that his steadfast service has almost gone unnoticed and isn't being celebrated with giant feasts. And now, to sort of unpack that a bit, my story is pretty boring. I was born to 2 Presbyterians, baptized by a Presbyterian minister. Much like Mia was saying, if the church doors were open during the week, I was probably there. Thursday afternoon, arts and crafts and music time as an elementary kid. Youth choir is on Wednesdays, youth group on Sundays, Sunday school and worship on Sunday mornings. If you name it, I was probably there. One of the things that has struck me as an adult who has reflected on the great gifts that the church where I grew up gave me was how many adults played a part in this and how few of them were related to me. As part of trying to live out that gift, when I graduated from college, where I had had, I guess, the closest experience I've ever had to being the younger son in that story, I think it's probably not that uncommon when you get to college that Saturday night might trump Sunday morning a little bit. But there was a time somewhere in college when I realized that I probably wasn't going to be going home, neither to my parents' house in Little Rock nor to Second Presbyterian Little Rock. And one of those mornings I woke up and decided that if that wasn't home anymore, maybe Davidson College Presbyterian Church should be. And so I rejoined the church that day, metaphorically speaking, because as a Presbyterian, it takes a lot for you to fall out of good standing. And then as I graduated, obviously, I had the good fortune of meeting Catherine there, and one of the things that both of us are drawn to is an ability to relate to youth. And I think it's because my humor is pretty similar. That's mostly fart jokes. And my taste in food is pretty similar, too. So hot dogs, pepperoni pizza, I'm all about it. And try to generally avoid anything that looks like a leafy green. That's sort of my palate, which puts me right up there with the middle school boys. So we've committed a lot of our life towards being involved with the youth that we get to spend time with, both at the church we served at in Charlotte, even before that, serving with the church that Catherine grew up with, then the church in Charlotte, and of course now here at Morningside. So I think one of the things, though, that has always, so that's sort of my boring story. That's me as the older son, with that one little brief flitting with being the younger son. But one of the things that, having welcomed our son Walter, Wally, 5 months ago, I've now reflected on that story in a different way. I've realized that while I've always thought of myself as the older brother, with that, aside from that one brief time, I've realized that neither of the brothers was all that right. Both of the brothers had their moments of being selfish. Both of them had the times when they were letting themselves stand in the way of the father doing what was right by the other brother. So as a new father, of course, I'm drawn to any story that talks about a father and a son. So I've now realized that as much as I may have identified as the older brother, God is calling all of us to show the grace and understanding and forgiveness and hospitality, even to those who have not done the right things by us, but that God calls all of us to show that grace on a day-to-day basis unto those in our lives, and of course, to show that to even to the strangers. So for me, that's where been my journey of faith has gotten me up until right now. I'm not 13, but I still feel like I have as much to learn and as much to give and as much to practice in terms of showing the grace that the father of the prodigal son showed. Thanks.
And my name is Lee Campbell Taylor. I was raised outside the church. And it's a long story, but after we were married, at the age of 28, the Holy Spirit blew me into Central Presbyterian Church downtown, where Leah Horton and Bill and the rest of their family were members. And a few weeks later, Clark and I joined, and as we were driving to meet with the session, I said, "What's going to happen today?" And Clark said, "Oh, they're going to play Stump the Heathen." But they didn't. And instead, they began this leading us on this journey that has taught me this. So this, I believe that God, as the source of all good, brings us, sometimes kicking and screaming, into a ludicrously lopsided relationship. And what I mean by that is that all the things that I refer to in the words of the Finding Nemo seagulls as mine, mine, all the things that I call mine are mine by the grace of God. My family that bore me and raised me, my husband with whom I've been in love for 30 years, my children for whom I would lay down my life, my energy, my intellect, my physical being, my skills, my time, whatever tools I use to make my living, even my faith, is a gift from God. And so you can see that if you take all of that and infinitely more and put it on God's side of the equation, then it's ludicrously lopsided. I don't deserve all that. I can't earn it. I can't repay it. There are days I can't even receive it. And yet I can respond to it. And so if we call all of this God's grace, then I'm going to call this gratitude, our grateful response. And that can take the form of standing in gobsmacked awe and delight at the beauty of autumn. This is totally my favorite time of year. That grateful response can take the form of lifting prayers of thanksgiving for the people we love and the adventures and joys that we share. That grateful response can take the form of giving to the point of sacrifice, giving of our time and talent and treasure. That response can take the form of baptism. Now, let me just stop and say that if any of you have not been baptized and would like to be, talk to Emma or me anytime. And if you have been baptized, remember that baptism and use that to strengthen you to follow Jesus a little bit further, a little bit deeper into his ongoing mission in this world that so desperately needs us to be the hands and feet and voice of Christ. We can't balance this relationship. But if the generosity of God's grace can be at least reflected in the generosity of our response, then we are living, truly living in relationship with that God who is the giver of all good. And I believe that living in relationship with that God is what we are called to do. Thank you.